care to reserve any of your time for rebuttal?
Yes, sir. I would like to reserve 5 minutes for rebuttal.
Right,
please.
Yes, sir.
And may it please the court, Your Honor, everyone on the line, I represent Najee Hairston in this matter. Mr. Hairston was convicted of two counts of possession with the intent to distribute, as well as third offense, driving on a suspended or revoked license. And the issue in this case is one of challenging the motion to suppress, which was denied, and we're doing so on the grounds that the stop of his vehicle was not based upon the observation of criminal activity at the moment of the stop, but instead premised upon a traffic infraction earlier in the day in a jurisdiction adjacent to Danville, although within the 1 mile territory, and therefore did not fall within the well-established Fourth Amendment reasonable suspicion.
Excuse me, this is Judge Huff. Why isn't 2.5 hours recent enough? I'm looking back at that Edmund case that was decided in our court last year, saying that an investigatory stop is okay as long as there has recently been involved, the occupants have recently been involved in some form of criminal activity or are reasonably suspected of the same.
And I think my recollection of that case, and as is so often the case with these Fourth Amendment issues, is that they are very fact-specific, and that the Logan case that Mr. Stallard cited to, I think, essentially makes the same type of argument and has the same type of factual analysis. And I think that what's different here is essentially the facts that we do have. And this is a de novo review where the only the historical facts that are found by the court have a high degree of deference. We would suggest that in this situation where there is objectionable driving that doesn't even happen in the jurisdiction, it happens in the 1 mile sort of buffer zone area that's provided by law, that is followed with a encounter between the officer and the individual, where the officer doesn't even bother to get identifying information like a name or anything of that nature, breaks off contact with Mr. Hairston. We would suggest voluntarily. It's certainly not as though he ran away. She got into a different lane than he did and went in a totally different direction than he did. But essentially, that's the thing that really sets this apart from a situation where, like in for instance, Logan, which I read more recently than Edwards, that case was about theft of a vehicle where there had been several that night, and where there was a window out that was suggestive of the vehicle maybe having been stolen. That's not a situation where that same officer or an officer that was with that officer had encountered the same vehicle just a couple hours before and didn't bother to do anything. Essentially, we would suggest that the reasonableness in a reasonable, articulable suspicion type of circumstance has to weigh in. You know, has there been an encounter with this same set of police that gave them an opportunity to consider the conduct and to have a chance to do something about it? What the officer indicated is supposedly she was going to write a reckless driving summons that never ended up getting written, that she was going to try and figure out who he was at some point in the future. And that's, we'd suggest, not reasonable articulable suspicion. It's not a reason that justifies the subsequent stop of the vehicle, essentially just to identify him for her convenience when she had an opportunity to do it 2.5 hours prior. And that's the answer that I would have to that and essentially the nature of our grievance here.
Counsel, let me follow up with another question. Why wouldn't the officer have probable cause to arrest based on the traffic offense that she observed, since she was in the police car as well when they made the stop? Why doesn't she have probable cause to arrest?
Well, Your Honor, I think essentially our position would be very similar to what I just elicited, and that is that she observed what she felt was a reckless driving scenario, and arguably there was a right to arrest.
Counsel, you're not suggesting that the evidence in the record does not show that she committed a traffic violation, are you?
I'm suggesting I think that's accurate. I'm not trying to suggest that didn't happen. I'm trying to suggest that the encounter that they had at the stoplight at the Walmart gave her an opportunity to take that action, that she didn't take that action, and that weighs on the stop that happened 2.5 hours later, where she was with Officer Land and Officer Frazier said, yes, that's the vehicle, and Officer Land stopped the vehicle. So we'd suggest, no, that it is not the case and should not be the case that if the police see something happening on one occasion and they have an opportunity, a fair opportunity to do something about it, that they're then allowed to just use that at any point in the future. I mean, even...
Counsel, this is Judge Chafin. So, essentially, your entire argument boils down to the fact that you allege that in a little over, I think it was 2.5 hours, that probable cause became stale and therefore couldn't be the reason for the stop at, of course, of which resulted in your client being arrested. I mean, that's essentially your argument. Is that correct?
I think that's fair, yes. Yes, Judge Chafin.
Thank you.
So, essentially, that we would contend is what is going on here. This certainly is an area of the law that is highly fact-specific. I have always had the sense probably there are cases that touch upon this, but only in a tangential type of way, like Edmonds and Logan, because they are so fact. All of these cases are so fact specific, and I think probably I would guess, given reading the brief that Mr. Stallard prepared, that he may have the same sense. But I think that we have gotten to the heart of the issue there, and other than rebuttal, unless there are other questions, that is a fair summary of what it is that we're arguing here.
Very well. I hear no other questions. You have 7 minutes remaining. Mr. Stallard, we'll hear from you, please.
Thank you, Your Honor. May it please the Court, my name is Craig Stallard on behalf of the Commonwealth in this appeal. As the Court indicated earlier, Detective Frazier was in the vehicle when Mr. Hairston's car was stopped. Detective Frazier witnessed Mr. Hairston driving his vehicle or driving the vehicle at a high rate of speed and crossing the double yellow line, which would likely constitute reckless driving, at which point the officers had either, if not probable cause, at least reasonable suspicion to stop the car and seize Mr. Hairston. To the extent Mr. Hairston is now arguing that the earlier police encounter somehow changes the analysis, what we do not know about that initial encounter is what we do know is that Detective Frazier was driving on her way to work. So we do not know whether she was in a police car or her civilian car, if she was dressed for work or if she was still in her civilian clothes. Any effort by her to attempt to stop the car while in her civilian clothes or civilian vehicle may not be in anybody's best interest. She did what she could. She took a photograph of the car's license plate. She took a photograph of the driver. immediately upon arriving to work. She circulated the photograph to other people in the police office to see if anybody knew who this person was. There was a lookout place to find the vehicle and locate the driver to identify the person. There was no undue delay in what she did to try to identify the driver. The fact that she could not have done it at the time. Yes.
Excuse me if I may. But it was 2.5 hours later. What is the outer limit of quote, recent articulable reasonable suspicion?
Well, I will say that recent obviously has different meanings in different contexts. Probable cause for an arrest warrant can still be recent, up to 18 months, depending on what's being searched for. I know items like child pornography, a relatively long period of time is valid for considered evidence to be recent for purposes of staleness and warrant analysis. Recent possession of stolen property in 2, 3, 4 months has been deemed to be recent. In this context, I don't think clearly something that long would be appropriate, but at least the same day, if not within the same 24-hour period, I think in this case, given the facts, would be recent. We've got a driver. We've got a vehicle positively identified at the time of the stop as something that happened just mere hours earlier. Whatever the outward limit of that would be, 2 hours, 2.5 hours, 3 or 4 hours, I think would be on the inside of that. It would certainly be reasonable for a police officer to base their conduct on evidence that would be that recent. And there's nothing here indicating that she could have done anything more quickly than she did. Again, we don't know the circumstances totally of the initial encounter. We don't know if it was reasonable for her to try to make a stop at that point. But we do know once, after getting the photograph and the photograph of the vehicle, did the lookout, placed a lookout in that, and then within 2.5 hours, they observed the vehicle. The officer wanted Detective Frazier to positively ID it before the stop, which she did, said, yeah, that's the car, that's the driver, at which point Officer Land then initiated the traffic stop on Mr. Harrison's vehicle. At that time, they had at least reasonable suspicion, if not probable cause, for the stop.
Counsel?
Yes, Your Honor.
Let me ask you a question about staleness. So when an officer observes a traffic infraction and they memorialize the license plate and they've observed the driver's face, is there a scenario by which that ever becomes stale?
I can't imagine it would be stale, Your Honor. Obviously, unless, you know, the license plate ends up on a different vehicle somehow, but as long as they see a white Camaro with this license plate, the police officer can certainly stop the vehicle to make a determination whether or not it's the same person driving as identified in the photograph. That would, I think, would be a reasonable stop days, weeks, months down the road. As far as that's concerned, I don't think it would be stale. Whether or not you would have full-blown probable cause weeks, months down the road would be, I think, slightly different. But certainly there'd be a basis to stop, and that specific evidence would not be stale. And if the court has no additional questions, I would suggest to the court that the trial court did not err in finding that the stop was not a violation of Mr. Harrison's Fourth Amendment rights, and I would ask this court to affirm the trial court.
Mr. Stollard, one last question. Did you find any case law in Virginia relating to staleness as it in terms of probable cause to arrest?
I did not, Your Honor. I would also indicate that in this type of fact scenario, it's not uncommon for one police officer to observe something which would be an infraction and then relay that information to other officers who would then later make the stop. So that type of thing, I think, is kind of built into this as far as how recently you have to act on it. There's certainly nothing I'm aware of that indicates once you have probable cause that you have to initiate the arrest immediately. So some delay is appropriate, and as I indicated, I'm not aware of any cases in Virginia dealing with staleness, especially in this type of context.
Thank you.
All right, thank you. Mr. Smallwood, your rebuttal.
Thank you, Your Honor. I think the first place I would go in rebuttal is I would just indicate certainly what we do know, the extent of what Officer Frazier did do when she was at the stoplight in front of the Walmart, where she took the photographs and saw the driver of the vehicle, and that is verbal encounter, and she did not ask any questions such as what's your name, what's your date of birth, what's your address, anything of that nature. She indicated to Mr. Harrison what it is that she was planning on doing, but she didn't get any of that information, and certainly we're not suggesting that she's in a civilian vehicle that she would have to stop the vehicle, but we have evidence from the record that there was no attempt to even ascertain the destination of the vehicle by driving in the same general direction, not in pursuit, but essentially more in what I would characterize as surveillance during a time period when an officer may have then been able to be summoned to actually handle this at that time. We know none of those things happened. What happened instead is she just drove off in a direction and he drove off in the other. So we would suggest that impacts this analysis. We do believe that there is staleness and that the severity of the offense very much plays into how stale the evidence is, and also the detectability of the offense. Child pornography, which was mentioned before, I think is an excellent sort of counter to this, because that's the type of activity that is hidden and that often has to be carefully investigated and is among the very most serious things that can happen. This type of traffic conduct, typically, while reckless driving is a Class 1 misdemeanor and can result in jail time, it's the type of misdemeanor that, candidly, a substantial portion, as I understand it, of the district court judges in the state would make a determination they were waiving jail time on and wouldn't provide for an attorney on. It's one of the least serious things that can happen, and so therefore the amount of time before there's a staleness concern and the amount of time that the police would be justified in stopping a vehicle or doing other similar things would be far less, and we'd suggest did expire in totality of all of these facts.
Counsel, what? So the officer observed traffic behavior that would indicate probable cause for a traffic offense. What made those observations stale 2.5 hours later?
Well, what made them stale, we would suggest, again, is the encounter that she did have and the actions that she chose to take and not take, which is part of the analysis,
and
the passing of that time.
But her observations didn't change, and the car was the same, and the license plate was the same, and she recognized the defendant as the driver. So what went stale?
I think that what I'm saying, and I think I understand the nature of the question, is I'm sort of postulating a dimension of staleness that maybe we don't often think about, because staleness that you're speaking of, I think, is, you know, so we believe from sounds or smells or something that room number 15 at a hotel had some criminal activity happening. You know, can we go in there a week later and go searching when who knows how many different guests, you know, maybe 7 guests have used that room? Certainly, we would suggest that we don't have concerns there because there was a match of, as I recall the facts, both the vehicle, the tag, and the driver on the part of Officer Frazier. But staleness, we would suggest, also can and should consist of essentially a common sense analysis as to the ability of the police to act upon this information that they have, so that they're not time frame that goes beyond what is appropriate. And in this case, we would suggest this driving conduct with the encounter at the stoplight in front of the Walmart, the two and a half hours is too long. That's not within the scope of what the framers of our Constitution would have thought of when it comes to valid Fourth Amendment conduct by the police. And so that's the reason that we're objecting and we're making this argument, and we're hoping that the court will essentially engage in the same analysis and agree.
Very well. Thank you very much, both of you. The case is submitted, and the court will now go into conference. Thank you.